The Bengals got back on track in week five, and so did we in DFS. We came to life. Bye week blues hitting you. Let's go over that. We got a full show for you. DFS, we'll talk Would You Rather, we'll do some reload, and we'll kick it all off with a little bit of housekeeping. Time to learn, scout, win, and repeat. Let's continue the process. And of course, to start housekeeping, we got to go over last week, the hits and misses and how we did with DFS. So guys, you know, going into week six, finally catch our stride here where it doesn't seem like, you know, treading water. We had the double up hit and I, you know, posted the lineup on Twitter or X rather, so you guys could see. But last week was good. At the last moment, I pivoted to this alternate lineup of Stafford, which we talked about. Using that also in tournaments, put that on the cash game lineup, and it worked out well. But ultimately, the Mahomes lineup that we talked about and that I made would have done even better in those double-ups. That lineup actually scored more points. So however you want to slice it, if you used this information last week, you should have been profitable. On DraftKings, that's what this is all about, right? So Mahomes, $8,200. We just saw that we could build something around that, and we absolutely did, and did not fail to recommend Stafford as an alternate. It worked, but it was precarious. We'll talk about that a little bit later. That lineup was saved by the Jets defense. That's the one thing I didn't mention last week. We did talk about the Panthers. They got a negative score, but we're going to get into why that doesn't matter. But from the quarterback perspective, nailed it. Chase at wide receiver, boom. You get the lineup half the way to the points there that you need. 55 from one guy on DK. So, you know, we nailed that at $7,900. Said he had the targets and receptions last week. You know, the Burrow ADOT was a little lower, but we said give it another week to get healthier. And plus a banged up Higgins should mean more opportunity. Plus he'll have low ownership. And that's exactly what happened. So got to take that for what it was. It's a complete hit. Guys, I don't think I had a lot of misses last week. The misses would be guys that I didn't play, didn't see going off or having a good game. And I don't want to negate that stuff, but does it really matter if we got back the results that we wanted, which was winning a lot of DFS, winning a lot of seasonal. Anyways, to keep going, Hopkins at $5,700. D-Hop did exactly what he needed to do for our lineups. Just, you know, give us those points, supplant us. That worked out well. They tried the flea flicker thing again. That's 2 weeks in a row they almost miss it. I think they tried it once more. Maybe not this week, maybe next week, but they're going to get it one of these times. But that was a nice piece. He was just way too lowly priced at $5,700 for the surest hands. Talked about Treylon Burke being banged up and missing last week and probably missing again. So that worked out for us. Pittman did not. Pittman brought the lineup down a little bit. I wanted to bring him back in that game last week, and I just really felt like in the Tennessee game that they had a chance to kind of shoot it out a little bit. Didn't really see that happening. Downs got a lot more looks from Minshew, which is why he's getting a little bit more consideration this week, but Pittman was definitely a miss. Conklin, you know, the tight end against Denver, we talked about them just being, you know, I think, you know, exactly what I wrote here was Denver's horrific against the tight end and coverage. End of story. That's how we presented it. That's how we played it. And that paid off for us wonderfully. The thing I also want to mention is in the flex saying that you could play Pitts or Hurts, saying, you know, Hurts would be less popular with a better matchup to make the lineup work. I was saying you could do that, but I probably wouldn't. I would play Pitts. I played Pitts. We got 15 points from Pitts. This guy goes nearly pretty much 5X and broke the lineup wide open, man. Now you're talking about, see, guys that hit that other people have, that just negates that guy from the equation. And then the contest becomes not about 11 people in the lineup, but maybe 10, right? And it's like, well, if you don't have that guy, you miss out. But that's going with the chalk. Going with the chalk ain't always going to win. That's actually going to make it harder for you because you have the same players as everybody else. You need to get different. And so having Pitts lowly owned really matters. If you're new to DFS, ownership levels matter. You will find that it's significantly easier to win DFS contests when you have lower owned guys. If you put yourself in the crab bucket, it's just going to be harder to climb out. You have to find some way to be different from everybody else. So luckily for us, we don't need to get too inventive. You know, having one or two guys off that people aren't thinking about go off and skyrocket, that's all you really need. This isn't that complicated. So yeah, we had Conklin low owned, surprisingly, don't know why, but we also had Pitts very low owned, obviously. Running backs, we said Breece Hall was a free square. Guys, he was very low owned. I don't know what that's about or why that would have been the case, but talked about, you know, Denver, you know, as far as having run stopping issues and why that is, and just said for $5,400, fine, we'll take it. We'll play the ownership game and we'll just all take it and make. And I literally said, we'll make the contest about the rest of the other, you know, guys in the lineup. He went off and he was very lowly owned. So, you know, getting 25 points from a guy at $5,400, that's pretty good return on investment on a Sunday afternoon. Paired him with Bijan Robinson, a little less impressive at $7,700. It didn't kill us though. He got that touchdown, but you would expect the Falcons to run the ball with him more. There's a lot of Algier, way too much Algier for me. So I'm going to be thinking about that moving forward. And we tied it all together with this Panther defense. I was saying they wouldn't kill you and they could make it work. And they got beat up on the ground. The defense ended up with negative 2 points. But, you know, we got supplanted work from so many other parts of the lineup that we just ate it and it just worked. And the thing that I didn't mention on there that I used was the Jets in that alternate lineup for the defense, because I just had that much left over. And I was like, well, I don't have to pay down. And it didn't make sense to move it to any other player. So I said, fine, I'll get a different defense and obviously queuing in on playing Denver. Now, that pick six at the end there, that did it. That did it. I was looking on the outside of the double ups until that. So that worked out for us. But, you know, largely successful week. And now that we've got the laser focus, we're just going to continue in that vein. That's building on the next thing in housekeeping, which I touched on a little bit already, DFS contest and strategy building. So what are you looking for when you go on to, you know, DraftKings, for example? There are two types of contests. And quite simply, I know for some of you this is rehash, right? But there's always new people, so we go over it. You have, you know, cash games, and then you have GPP or guaranteed prize pool games. Those are tournaments or, you know, large money contests, right? You see the millionaire maker. That's that, right? It's like all these people can play and, you know, you can win, you know, prize money or whatever. And usually you can have as many entries as you want, all that, right? The double ups and the cash games, a little less exciting, a little less sexy. Typically plan for a little less. It's like, let's say you put in $2, double up, $2 would be like, okay, half of you people or the people above the cut line, just double your money, right? So being better than a whole field of people and winning a lot of money is significantly harder than being better than half the people and winning a little bit of money. But if you do that, the second thing, a lot of times, then you can build a bankroll that you then use to go attack those tournament plays with. That's what we're doing. That's all this show is about. Consistently week over week giving you suggested picks that will help you win those double up contests, those cash game contests, so that you can come away profitable and then play the tournaments every week and try to hit that home run. That's all this is. And you should be playing 70% safer games, 30%, you know, those tournament games. That's how you make sure with good picks, you don't run out of bankroll. Right, we're going to keep replenishing it and building it. You got to pay attention to the number of entries too. Like if you see a little number in the contest blurb, it says like M1, that means like you can have a multiplier of one, or M3, for example, means you could have a multiplier of three. So that means that one single person account can enter three lineups in that one contest. So the thing about those is, if you want to play sharks, that's a good way to do it. You're going to run up against somebody with a lot of money who is an algorithm, right? They could pay to just say, okay, spit out the best 150 lineups for me, right? And then they're just going to take their money and put it in there and play like that. There are people that play like that. So you give yourself less chance to win when you're going up against stuff like that. So we want to focus on single entry contests. That's what we want. Everybody gets one lineup. You're not going to play the optimizer game with me. Your single bullet, my silver bullet, and let's see who can do the best, right? And so that's how we chase this money on these websites, looking for, once we have this little bit of bankroll to play with from the double up winnings, then we're looking for single entry tournaments that have about 100 people in it. You want something manageable, 200 people. You don't want to play a football field of people who are particularly sharks. You don't want to get in the room with the sharks and be the guppy. We need to control that. The way we control that is by controlling contest size and single entry. Only 100 of us. Look, I can't walk into Michigan Stadium and say, even though I go through a lot of football analysis every week, I can't say I would beat every person in there with my lineup versus theirs on any given Sunday. That's a lot of the chance, right? Put me in a room with 100 people and everybody gets one lineup. Oh, now we're cooking. So this is what we mean when we say control the narrative on these websites and maneuver around them. They draw you in with the commercial to show you, you can win all this money. Then you look like one of those people that just give them some money, give them some money, give them some money, give them some money. Then you're like, this is a scam. You stop doing it. Meanwhile, there are people out there like me that we play the site habitually and we don't really give them as much as you think, you know, and the goal is play out of winnings all the time. Okay. Next thing, seasonal, looking ahead is what you got to do now, especially if you're in trouble. If you are looking at the waiver wire moves, let's say your wire comes up on Wednesday and you're looking at the waiver wire moves at lunch on Tuesday, your work on Tuesday, too late, too late, too late. Unless you always have that preferential spot, the first waiver spot, which you won't, or all of the, you know, auction dollars, which you won't, the fat budget, which you won't, then you got to start thinking ahead. So you got to look at your contest 2-3 weeks out even. So that you can have the best selection of what is available on the wire for those matchups. If you wait to the current week, you're playing with fire. But if you do it like that, you know, you're in a much... So, for example, Kansas City, I've got their defense. I had them go on Thursday. That worked out well. Like 15 points in that league. But just... you know, foreseeing what I wanted to do. Okay, had a defense that I don't really need to keep this, right? Had Denver or something like that. Like, I don't really need to keep this. So where do we go? See Kansas City out there, but I also see Green Bay. So Green Bay's on bye this week, but then Green Bay faces Denver next week. I'm trying to stream against Denver if I can. So I'll play Green Bay against Denver next week, and then Kansas City gets Denver again the following week. So this is all lining up perfectly, right? And so this is because I looked a couple of weeks ahead. I can already tell you what those matchups are because in my mind, I'm there already. So if your back is against the wall, that's why we're talking about this. You're asking, what can you do to give yourself a leg up? Stop game planning for this week, and move ahead and make sure that you stay ahead. And the other thing you can do is try to trade. But, you know, trading is what it is, man. That's why in those, you know, professional leagues, they don't let you do it because it's garbage. Never, ever really fair. Somebody's trying to fleece somebody. There's not a lot of people that understand the, you know, how to possibly do it. So it's just, if you're in a league where they are trading, you know, I don't think you can complain much. Like, you signed up for a league with trades, you just got to live with that or get in the league with no trades. I don't really want to go back and forth over fair trade versus not fair trade anymore because it's always the same old stuff. Somebody has a realistic value. Somebody doesn't. Somebody doesn't understand value. Somebody doesn't. I don't know. So we're done with that. Last thing in housekeeping we would need to touch on Thursday, Denver, Kansas City. We don't need to spend a lot of time on it because Kansas City did what we expected them to do, which is beat Denver. But They seem to still be trying to, I guess the moral of the story is they're still trying to put it together. I'm not going to say they won't, or that they're washed, or that they can't do it this year, but there's a lot that needs to happen. Kadarius Toney took a step forward. Rashee Rice took a step forward. But they need more on offense. I think Kelsey's going to break down again if he continues to be like the primary weapon by far. They need more from the run game. Defense has been good, but the one thing I want to emphasize is look at their record. This is a real good football team for having some deficiencies we've all seen on TV already. They're going to fix that, and they're going to be a lot more better than you think. Don't start doubting Mahomes now. They still have him in these down games. He's still delivering, 20 points to you. What other quarterback has that floor? I'll wait if you want to name him. Hurts maybe. But outside of that, Allen hurts him. Burrow, even I know people have been down on him lately, but I'm still putting him in that category. Who else are you going to depend on week in and week out? So they will build it up from the floor there. I think those receivers need to get more synergy, but they'll work on it, and they'll continue to grow as a football team. Denver, on the other hand, they are better than they were last year, but there's just so many problems with the team. I mean, underperforming wide receivers is one thing. Defense, that is way overwhelming. Vance Joseph, why has he still had the job? I don't know. There's a lot wrong right now, but we don't have to care about that. We just need to focus on it every single week and see when we can exploit that and try to get paid off of it like we did with Breece Hall last week. That's housekeeping. House is clean this week, y'all.
Let's play a little round of Would You Rather. I will go through 12 conundrums and tell you whether I would rather play this player or that player this week.
Onward to our 12 conundrums of Would You Rather for week 6. First up, Justice Hill or Josh Downs. I know everybody's in the Josh Downs because of what we saw last week when Minshew came in. So, for the question, Justice Hill or Josh Downs, I will say Josh Downs. And I will say Downs because Justice Hill has a tough matchup going up against Tennessee. They're pretty stout against the run. That's games over in Germany, I believe, by the way. Not London, Germany. If I'm not mistaken, or do they go back to Germany later? No, I think I'm pretty sure this game's in Germany. Anyways, Justice Hill has a tough battle ahead of him, and the run game of Baltimore hasn't been that established anyway. So it's easy to take Josh Downs there in a pass-friendly environment. Ravens versus Titans. The path to victory for the Ravens is going to have to be through the air. That's where the Titans are more susceptible. We've also seen Lamar take step forward last week in his passing. So, or maybe 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. So he's shown some flash and he'll have to do it again. That's the easier path to victory. As far as, Josh Downs goes, I wouldn't get too overly invested, but in this matchup, it's him over Justice. All right, next up, Dallas Goedert or Josh Downs. Now I'll take Goddard here. Goddard's in a really good spot for Philly against the Jets this week. They're not great against the tight end, and so I do believe he's a ton more viable as opposed to Josh Downs. Okay, next up, Jacoby Myers, his Raiders hosting the Patriots, or Damian Pierce going up against New Orleans. So, the Houston game is going to be tough. I think that's going to be a tough game. Houston pretty stout against the run. Damian Pierce has been kind of underperforming. There is going to be some difficult road for him on Sunday. But Jacoby Meyer, I think they'll see some man coverage with the Patriots, and they should be able to exploit that. Him and Davante Adams are both in a great spot. Adams is Adams. Revenge game for Myers. I think it works like that. But the chance for him to have a great game against people that he is familiar with. They are familiar with him. I don't think that plays down for him, though. With the talent or lack thereof that New England has right now in the secondary, having just have traded for J.C. Jackson back for peanuts from the Chargers because they've lost Sanchez, among others, for the year. So they need some help. He will provide it. I do think that's something that, you know, is more interesting for Davante Adams. Not going to stop him as long as he's healthy. But Jacoby Myers should be fine. So we'll take him in a long-winded way. Next, would you rather Alvin Kamara or T. Higgins? I would rather Alvin Kamara by a mile in this one. T. Higgins, you know, he's in a good environment, but we're going to talk about that later, okay? Alvin Kamara, though, is going to have – Houston's been susceptible against the run, and they've been getting better against the pass, and so developing a little bit of pass rush. I think, you know, Carr's been kind of hobbled. I hope he's 100%. Either way, Kamara's fresh. He's only been back for a couple of weeks. He's looked good. And this is another positive game script for him. That defense can alleviate things. And, you know, if they can force Stroud into making some of his very first bad decisions in the NFL, then Alvin Kamara can easily put the hammer down. We know this about him. So I think there's more opportunity for him than versus, say, T. Higgins this week. Brandon Ayuk or Sam Laporta. I like Sam Laporta. In the Lions game where they're playing Tampa Bay, it should be a friendly environment for passing. Tampa Bay is not impossible to beat. Laporta's coming on strong, two touchdowns in the last game, so we like him. Ayuk is good, but Cleveland has been very good on defense. They've been good in the secondary. They are also without their quarterback this week, so you know, I don't know how much Ayuk will be needed, right? But Laporta should be a part of what I think is a positive passing game script. So we'll take him. And would you rather Gabe Davis or Sam Laporta? Gabe Davis or Sam Laporta? So Gabe Davis, I think, is in a pass-friendly environment as well as Sam Laporta. But I will say Gabe Davis in this one because, by the way, they're playing the Giants. Everybody can beat the Giants. So what's going to happen is they're going to blitz Allen, right? And we're going to see if he can beat the blitz, which he should be able to do. But I think Laporta is – well, not I think. I know Laporta is less down the chain of command than Gabe Davis is. Laporta – he is a great option, but they got really good wide receivers too. So it's a little, he's got a lot of places he can look in terms of Jared Goff. For Allen's part, he's primarily looking, you know, at Diggs. And if he's remotely, you know, occupied with like 2-3 people, whatever the case is, Gabe Davis is next guy, right? Like they're not throwing to the tight end or anything like that. So, and they don't really run the football a lot either. So there's always targets and opportunities for Gabe Davis. We got to take him. All right, next up, Chris Olave or Ramondre Stevenson. You know, it's going to be a tough road for Olave this week. I'll have to say Stevenson. It's a good matchup, but I recognize that he's been futile on the ground and Zeke's been better. Oops, sorry, guys. That really is my neck. If it's a seasonal contest, I don't know that I would, you know, really think to be playing Ramondre Stevenson if I got another running back this week. If it's of these two in the flex, I guess I go with Stevenson. But Olave, you know, it's just so much of a home run thing. If he doesn't hit the home run, I'm very unsure of what you get from him. So I'm going to go with the safer bet, which is Stevenson. All right, Breece Hall or Garrett Wilson this week. Now, Breece Hall looked great last week. This is going to be a tougher ask against this Philly defense this week. However, Philly has been porous in the secondary. Their zone defense is not very good right now because of injury. So I think Garrett Wilson, who's been a zone master, is in a good spot. We're actually recommending him for, you know, basically our cash game lineup this week. Like this guy should have to eat based on that game script. All right, would you rather DJ Moore or James Cook? You know, lonely is the running back in Buffalo. They, you know, this is a team where traditionally their quarterback is the lead rusher. This has happened several years in a row now. That's not good. That means there's no commitment to that position, basically, right? And you could say it's the talent. I don't know that. They've had some decent guys back there, but they just doesn't, when they run, it's, you know, it's Allen mostly. So I'm going to say DJ Moore in a game where the Bears should be trailing. And there'll be a lot of opportunity. I don't think he's going to snap off like he did against the Washington Redskins, but there's opportunity. Okay, Sam Laporta or Drake London. Now, I like this because they're both in the good spots, but I'm going to go ahead and recommend an Atlanta Falcon. That's right. 2 weeks in a row, an Atlanta Falcon. This week is going to be Drake London in a positive matchup for him going up against this Washington team. And we're going to talk about specifically, when we get to reload, about why I think that this makes for an interesting matchup for Drake London. Okay, Joshua Palmer or Sam Laporta this week? Now, I'll take Sam Laporta. It's going to be a tougher matchup for Joshua Palmer, but for Keenan Allen, this should be cake. The defense that the Chargers will be facing, Dallas, they play a lot of man coverage, and they are banged up a little bit. I think Keenan Allen can have his way. Palmer is better in zone coverage for the most part as opposed to man coverage, and I don't know how much of that we see, and so he just may be out there doing the Lord's work, being busy, right? While Allen looks like he's in a pretty good spot. And finally, would I rather play Kendrick Bourne from New England or Chuba Hubbard? I will say Hubbard against Miami just because Carolina's so bad as a football team. But you can't pass it every play because, you know, Bryce Young is not very good. So there's that part of it that you got to worry about. So they're going to need to rely on the run. And Miles Sanders has been banged up. I think it's been the groin. I don't know that he's not that good. It's just been the groin. I think the injury's going underreported. I would be interested to see what Chuba Hubbard can do to slow Miami down. I'm saying this as a Dolphins fan. If the, you know, try to win. Like, look, for Carolina, they don't even get their pick. The Bears get it. So it's kind of like, what does it even behoove you to tank these games? Like, you got to try to win them. And if they're trying to win the game, slow it down and run it. Miami hasn't been that great against the run. That's the part where you may be able to get to them, I think. Kendrick Bourne, though, is interesting this week, going up against this Vegas secondary that I think is very susceptible to his talents and strengths. But the problem is his quarterback. So we'll take Chuba Hubbard. But that is Would You Rather for week 6. Hopefully you guys feel a little bit better about who you would rather. And now it's time for the process to reload. So let's hit it. You know what time it is. Let's reload. We already talked about Thursday. So we'll kick it right into Sunday action. Going over to the pond over the Germany. Baltimore, Tennessee. Talked about this one a little bit already. Baltimore, tougher day on the ground for them. So I don't really think it's going to matter who's running. Tennessee, pretty stout against the run, but they've got problems in the secondary. So Baltimore has this opportunity to take a step forward in the passing game, just like Jackson did a few weeks ago. So I think he's fine. I'm not overly, you know, ready to recommend any one of those wide receivers. You could go with Mark Andrews for sure. But that's it. I think that's what you got right there. On the opposite side of things, King Henry looks to be breaking down. Like, he gets tackled so easily. So not as imposing back there. Probably going to continue to split with Spears, I think. I mean, I don't expect an overly aggressive run game from Tennessee. And as far as the passing game goes, Baltimore getting healthier and continuing to get healthier. So in the secondary. So I don't think that, you know, the success we saw from Hopkins last week, I wouldn't necessarily think that we're going to see that this week. He will get some catches here and there, but Tennessee's going to have to really pull it together. Henry will be better, but I don't know that he is overly effective is the point. I think Baltimore has a chance to win this one by way of the defense. But I feel like this is going to be a, you know, one of those AFC North just, you know, slug matches. Seems like it always is with these guys. Defense first, right? Baltimore leading the way in the game. They should win. Reload. Washington, Atlanta. Okay, here's the reason why I think Drake London can have a decent game. First off, call me the Falcon Whisperer because we predicted Pitts' like only good game ever, and I never recommend him. But anyways, seriously though, Washington has a decent defense when they play to the strength of their defense. What that is zone. They got a bunch of good zone corners, drafted some guys to play that, And they can handle that responsibility, especially with the front four that they have, which, you know, they've all been good in flashes, but, you know, they've had injuries and stuff. Now they got them together and it's starting to coalesce, right? So it's like, you know, like think about like a lawnmower, boom, getting ready to go, right? Okay. Here's the thing, though. They don't do man coverage very good in the secondary, though, although they do zone very good. But although this Washington secondary does not do man coverage that good, they still insist, because they're bumbling, you know what, they still insist on doing it from time to time. For example, against the Bears, the Commanders decided, let's force Fields to beat us through the air. So we'll stuff the box so they can't run. We'll stop the run. And then we'll see if he can beat us through the air. And boy, did he, right? I think DJ Moore snapped for like 50 points, right? So Washington probably didn't learn their lesson. I think that they think less of Atlanta than they do of Chicago. So I can see them going right back to that same bag. Let's put eight in the box, stop the run, because Atlanta is way more known for the run than the Bears, right? So let's put eight in the box. Let's stop the run. We know Atlanta wants to run the football. And let's see if Ridder can beat us. Now, they don't think Ridder can beat him, and I don't think he can either, but he can activate Drake London, who gets a lot of targets and looks anyway. Van Jefferson just came over via the trade with the LA Rams. Ooh, excuse me. What year is it? But I don't think 1 week is enough to be overly effective. Plus, also, Ridder, like, who believes he's activating multiple dudes? He's not, and he's always looking for London above all. So I think just having Van Jefferson out there just gives them another credible body to take some attention away so they can try to get it to their guy. So I love London this week because Washington will assist them and let Ridder do what he wants to do on the back end. Now, I, you know, as far as the Atlanta side of the ball goes defensively, I think McLaurin gets shadowed with A.J. Terrell. So I'm not so excited about him, but Jahan Dotson could have a good day. Jalen Samuels could also show up pretty well, too. So don't have a problem with those guys. Brian Robinson probably going to have a tougher day against the Atlanta run defense, but it'll be, you know, how can you do it? And for Atlanta, it will be Ridder, can you do it? So I'm going to say Washington's little game of chicken wins this week, and how goes on. I don't mind how this week. I think he's got enough weapons, enough opportunity. They ain't going to roll to win this game. So we'll say Washington wins a close one. A heartbreaker for Atlanta drops them back down to 500 and push Washington up to 500. Reload. We go to Cincinnati. Seattle's coming to town to visit the Bengals. So Cincinnati Bengals been pretty stout against the pass here. So I do want to downgrade, you know, the receivers for Seattle. Or I'm sorry, Cincinnati's been stout. So I'm going to downgrade the Seattle receivers, especially Lockett. I want to downgrade him. Seems, you know, like week to week, he's struggling to find his space and, you know, in and involve a lot of like run support type stuff. So, I mean, and he's good at that, but it's kind of like, is he slowing down? There's like more of that. So a little drink of water. Sorry. But so I'm not expecting much from him. DK Metcalf can hold his own because he's a big, strong, bad dude. But it's just not a great matchup for them, any of the rest of these guys. But for Kenneth Walker, that's the opportunity. That's where I think that you can attack the Cincinnati defense. Why don't you run right at them? And so I do think that Pete Carroll, who in his heart wants to run that rock, right, be that pounded, ground-and-pound team that he used to have back in the day with Marshawn Lynch. We know he's one of those old ball coaches that want to do it the old way. They could do that this week. They could really do that this week and lean into that based off of the way Cincinnati is set up. Cincinnati on the other side, I think, take a step forward this week. Burrow, even healthier than last week. I like him again. I like Chase again this week. The thing about Higgins is this. I know it's like we think about them as having the triumvirate, right? It's like Chase, Higgins, Boyd. And even less Boyd this year, right? It's like Chase and Higgins. But guys, it just Burrow's like looking for his one guy, and his one guy is Chase. If Chase is not there, then it's Higgins. He's not like going back and forth between two dudes. He's just like getting into his guy. He's getting into his guy. And so I think this is why we can play Chase naked or without Burrow in DFS this week. He's a very good play. I think he will get into his guy. And I don't think I need to get invested in Burrow. But he is also coming on strong. So as an alternate lineup, I like this idea of stacking the two of those together. Just the two of those. But that's the easier path to victory against Seattle, who will probably present more of a challenge on the ground, but not too much. I could see, you know, Mixon getting into the box a couple of times easy due to the goal line work. But Cincinnati should win this game and continue to get healthy. I think they get to 300. It'll be a tough game for Seattle. I don't know if they have enough firepower on the road to go and get it. Geno Smith, if they get down, he's not leading this comeback, I don't think, against the Seattle secondary and defense. And if Seattle gets up enough, Mixon will have enough in the tank to run this one out, I think. So it'll be on the backs of Kenneth Walker to see if he can keep the game neutral for as long as Seattle needs for their offense to kind of show up with something in the passing game. I just don't see it, though. We'll say Bengals. Reload. Indianapolis at Jacksonville, Minshew facing his old team. Really wanted to recommend him at that price in DFS, but it just seems like a trap. I don't like going with somebody against their old team. There's too much data there, and people want to present it in whichever way that it makes it work for them. He knows them, okay? They know him, okay? Right? So it's somewhere in the middle. It'll be fun watch, and I want to leave it at that, but Minshew's in a good spot. People want to say Josh Downs. I would love to say Pittman, but we just don't know, right? And so I just know that the environment is friendly, right? And so there's that. As opposed to the running game, which I think will have a little bit more of a harder time against Jacksonville. Now, not impossible, but it's still going to be split work between Moss and JT as he gets his legs under him. So his football legs. I know people are saying he's been in shape, but you got to get used to playing an NFL football game at speed. So there's that. So I think they continue to split a little bit, but truly, if Jacksonville can put the pressure on, they're not going to have a big opportunity to run with the football. And I think Jacksonville knows that. Jacksonville knows that the easier way to beating Indianapolis is passing too. So I like Ridley. I like Kirk. I think Kirk is a fantastic price. So he's in the DFS cash game lineup this week. You know, $5,400, you can't beat that for what I expect to be passing back and forth between these two teams as opposed to grinding it out running. Etienne's in a good spot, though. You got him playing, feeling great about it. DFS, I don't think I need to get there. I'm just paying down to get some fireworks in the lineup. But if you want to do that, Rogue, God bless you. Got no problems with that. In terms of who wins this football game, I'm going to give it to Jacksonville just because they're at home here. I think it's going to be a close game. Minshew is comfortable there. I don't know that they're the better team yet, but it's real close. I'll say Jacksonville by a nose. Reload. Carolina going to Miami. Okay, I like Chuba Hubbard because you can't pass every game, like I said, or every play, like I said. Bryce Young is terrible. Miami should be leading, right? We know that. But I don't think that forcing him to pass is the way. That's not the way. That is not the way. What I can see Miami doing, though, unfortunately, is like loading the box and forcing him to challenge them. And I think that's where he makes some bad turnovers, right? So I think that's where they could possibly get a pick six. So the Miami defense could be the star of this game. Their offense is fine. Tua is fine. I know Tariq Hill is banged up. Probably don't pay for him in DraftKings, but I still think you can play him and feel good about it. If you got him in seasonal, fire that bad boy up and feel great about it. Waddle feel good about that. But I also like the running game this week too, especially because Miami should get ahead against Carolina. So, you know, it's a Mostert week. We don't have Achane, right? So it's Mostert and then the lineup from there. But I have no problems with taking a look at Mostert. Anybody else in seasonal, you're taking a risk. But Mostert and DFS, we like that. It'll be in one of the alternate lineups. Miami's going to win this football game, and it's all about can Carolina get off the canvas and do something. I'm hoping Chuba Hubbard can present some – like Miami's not great against the run, but with the team of Carolina being what it is, you know, I'm just thinking that they have a chance to be better against the run on this day. However, I'm still going to recommend Hubbard because – of the injury to Miles Sanders, you know he's getting the touches, right? We want to invest in a person that we know is getting the touches. And so if you look at, like, when we talk about the DFS lineup that I'm going to use on DraftKings for cash games, I want to pay down so I can save money to pay up in other places. And that's how I'm going to do it, because regardless of how many points he scores, he's getting the touches. Miami wins it. Reload. next game where it's all about the same thing with that running game is Chicago going up against Minnesota. Like, I, you know, I'm not saying they run all over them, but, you know, the thing about it is when we talk about the Chicago run game, they're all hurt. Roschon Johnson is hurt. Khalil Herbert is out now for several weeks, right? And so Dante Foreman, he's going to get the touches. And so we want the guy that gets the touches. Yes, they're calling somebody else up, but you're not that ready that quickly, right? And so when we look at the last game, when we look at this game, that's the two things that they have in common is running backs just going to be involved, right? Just don't blank us. Get us 5-10 points would be magnificent, right? That's a perfect world. But at the price that we can get Dante Foreman, then that we're going to use that too, just like we're going to use Chuba Hubbard. And hopefully those teams have the sense to run the football. Minnesota, as far as their defense goes, you know, they can be had. And so I think the Bears, you know, feels not in the terrible spot, you know, but it's a more of a balanced thing. Like Chicago should be able to, you know, run to set up the pass. Pass to set up the run. They should be able to do that if they want to do that. You know, the way it breaks down, though, it feels just runs all over. Now, Minnesota, though, which I think is the better offense, better defense, they have problems with turnovers. That's what's going to keep the Bears in this game. They'll have short fields. So, like I said, I like the goal line work for Foreman. They'll have short fields where they can, you know, take advantage of turnovers, because this is what Minnesota's done every game. They're leading the lead in turnovers. That's what makes them a 1-4 team. So that part should show up. So Chicago's defense, interesting. I won't go there, but interesting. But their offense should have some shorter fields to work with. I think that's what keeps them in the game. Now, I like Cousins, and he's going to be my cash game quarterback, but I understand the problems with that, which is basically if you turn the ball over, we didn't get points, right? So there's a lot of running up and down the field and then a turnover. So I recognize that as a problem, but I think you got to fire him up. The Bears have been a little better against the run this week. You look at the stats, they're going to say the Bears are terrible against the run, and they have been. But at the start of the year, they were quite atrocious, and it seems like they've leveled off a little bit. And so I think that's the harder path of resistance against that defense. So Minnesota should lean into what they want to do, which is pass. I know you don't have Jefferson, but that's fine. I like KJ Osborne probably more than Addison, because Addison's role doesn't change. Addison's role, it continues to be the same thing as what his role has been doing. Jefferson gets that underneath work. And then while they're worried about what he's doing down there and paying attention to him, Addison's burning it deep, right, for hopefully a wide open look. You're not going to have Jefferson to help you do that now, but he's still got the same role. Now, underneath is going to be KJ Osborne. So I think that KJ Osborne gets open a little bit more as the defense chooses to go with Addison a little bit more, if that makes sense. So that's kind of what I see from the Minnesota offense. Hockenson's in a great place. So I like Cousins. I like Hockenson. Bears are awful against the tight end. So they can move the chains, move the ball that way. He's an end zone target for sure. So we want to take advantage of that. Yes, Minnesota run game is, you know, in play, but like I said, Bears have been a little better, so I'll stay away from that, and I think they'll find more success passing it. Their defense is in play, though, just like the Bears defense is in play. Both teams will make mistakes, which will help both offenses make a thing out of it, but really what this is a not great team versus a team that can't stop turning the football over. I think Minnesota finds a way to beat the Bears. It is not going to be easy. They're going to shoot themselves in the foot quite often trying to do it, but they'll find a way to figure it out and get it done. Reload. Okay, San Francisco at Cleveland would have been so much fun if we'd have had Deshaun Watson, but he's not going to play. And so that changes things, right? It's tough. San Francisco, tough against the run in the past. The run more so because you're not having a chance to run against them because teams are getting blown out. So you got to try to, you know, see what you can do to stay in the game. So there is that. Ford, if you got him in season, play him and feel fine about it. There's nothing wrong with that. I stay away from DFS just because Cleveland doesn't present much in the way of offense, in my opinion. The San Francisco defense looks like they're going to be having another nightmare week, basically. So they are the most thing in play. Cleveland's defense is really good too, though. And so I just don't think that Purdy and company are going to have the most fantastic day in the world either. He's going to face one of the toughest units he's been playing. So McCaffrey's probably the better route for them. I like McCaffrey. I like the San Francisco defense. I think the Cleveland defense is going to play hard and try to keep them in the game. But they just won't have enough at quarterback. They just won't have enough at quarterback. I keep forgetting the guy's name that replaced him just because I have no faith. Dorian Thompson Robinson started in the other game for him, the rookie. I think PJ Walker is going to start this week. So that's a little better, but we're not going to do that. But San Fran, right? That's the way to go in that game. And McCaffrey, but I'm not paying for McCaffrey for DFS. I will pay for San Fran's defense for DFS, though. I know they're priced at $4,100. They're the most expensive defense, but that was before we got certainty that Watson wasn't going to play. So it's such a great play, right? And with my lineup build, it just felt like the right thing to do, as most people will be trying to pay down. As we saw last week, that works sometimes. That works, right? So you can get away with that. One thing I'm noticing here on ESPN.com is Eagles quarterback Darius Slay should be out, and rookie D-tackle Jalen Carter out against the Jets too with an injury. So that does bump up Breece Hall a little bit more room. We were just saying they're going to have to run anyway. Not a lot of room to run, but that helps his case a little bit. And if I'm the Jets, I start there. But also, not having Darius Slay, that really makes the Wilson pick, that much more viable for DFS. At 6K, that's something we got to take advantage of. So we will continue to leave him in. Lions, Gibbs is going to be out, so Montgomery gets all the run. And then St. Brown comes back, so we'll get there. But anyways, San Fran, reload. New Orleans at Houston. Houston, tough against the pass, man. Developing a little baby pass rush. Trying to get tough, man. They've been playing decent football this year. Excuse me, they're not a great game. Or I'm sorry, they're not a great team, but they're getting better. New Orleans, who knows what to think about them? They don't show up at times, and they've lost games that they should have won. It's very hard to understand what's going on with this team. They let a couple slip out of their fingers. In this one in particular, I think Marshawn Lattimore is going to shadow Nico Collins. And so there's a little bit of a negating factor there. Tank Dell, very interesting. Bob Woods will be out there too, but Tank Dell, very interesting. CJ Stroud will probably be able to find him. This dude seems like he's got it, right? And so I believe, honestly, that he can have a more normal reaction to one of those stronger corners, like an average NFL QB. Go to my next guy. I don't think it's going to rattle him too much like a normal rookie. Remember, this guy still hasn't thrown a pick yet. So while Lattimore is dealing with Collins, yes, I think that does make things interesting for Tank Dell. Bob Woods is out there, though, like I said. I know I said it, I'm repeating myself, but you need to hear it twice. Now, Pierce on the ground is where it gets a little rougher for Houston versus New Orleans. So the pass game is going to have to lead the way, but ultimately, I don't know. This is going to be the toughest defense that Stroud plays. I think that they can do enough to force him to make some mistakes. I do believe that because of the run game not being viable, in a lot of these games, he's had Pierce at least, helping out a little bit. His production is dipping off, but the matchup is also not great. And so I think if we're starting to focus more and more and more on the rookie, it's going to be easier to kind of, think of something to make him make a mistake, is what I'm thinking. So edge to New Orleans, even though it's in Houston. As far as the New Orleans offense goes, I like Kamara. Houston can't stop anybody on the ground, so I really like Kamara. Carr, it's going to be tough getting it to Olave. The other receivers kind of just share touches, like in a non-predominant way. So I don't know what you're going to get there, because Houston has been a little tough. I mean, you still got Michael Thomas out there. You got Rashid Shaheed, but Olave is going to get his attention, and so we'll have to see what the other guys can do. But Kamara, though, I mean, whether it's running or passing, so that's the guy that I like. I like the New Orleans defense. I think they do just enough to go on the road and win that one. This is the point where they stop making the mistakes. I think Tampa Bay loses this week, and I think New Orleans wins this week, and this starts this next phase of the season for them. So I'll you know, stick my chest out. I'll say it pridefully. They turn the corner this week in Houston. Reload. New England going to play McDaniels in Vegas. Vegas is not a great team, but New England is also not a great team. I think that the ground game for New England can have a great game. I'm very worried about the passing. The New England defense, I mean, they, like we talked about that earlier, J.C. Jackson now coming over from the Chargers. They've got injuries in the secondary. You know, do they slow Adams down? Maybe, but I haven't seen enough to not play him. If you have him, seasonal, fire him up. Feel great. DFS, you want to do it? That's fine too. But I like Jacoby Myers. You know, definitely not enough talent to cover him as well. And he's shown what he can do if you want to send somebody to focus on Adams. So Jacoby Myers looking good, especially for DFS if you want to play him. I know I'm not, but I'm just giving you guys full honest candor. I might switch to him at the very last minute and put him in somehow because he's in a very good spot at a soft price. And I don't have him right now, but I'm already leaning, right? Vegas is just so much. You want to believe in the run, but it's not there. I think it could be a decent game for it, but it's just not there. I think middling numbers, I'm not paying for that. If you have Jacobson seasonal, you got to play him. You got to play him. Garoppolo should be able to find those receivers. I think New England can keep it close, but I don't know if they can win just because Mack Wilson, I don't know what's going on with him. So I can't recommend New England while that seems to be broken. Belichick doesn't really want to move on for him and go to Zappy. They just kind of seem to be floundering. They haven't done much in the past couple of weeks. As I said, Vegas is also bad. I think this is a matchup of two really bad teams. But pressed to say, I think Vegas probably will come out ahead. They, for all their faults, have played a little bit better teams, I think. So I think they might be a bit better, but as you guys can tell from all my fumbling and bumbling, I just don't have a real good read on either one of these underperforming offenses. Reload, Tampa Bay hosting the Detroit Lions. Like I said, Tampa Bay is going to lose this one. 3-1. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Detroit's coming to town. That's a serious 4-1. For Detroit and golf, I think the run game is going to be a little tougher. We just said they're without Gibbs, so it's a Montgomery game again. But the path to victory lies through the air. They get Ross St. Brown back. So that is fantastic. But he's in play. But so is, you know, for zone, all their guys are really good against zone. So Reynolds and also Khalifa Raymond, these guys are, they're zone monsters. And so I think golf will have his pick. He'll have his way. Laporta's in play. They're all in play. So Montgomery is going to be the lead back, but you will see Craig Reynolds on the ground as well because Montgomery is still nursing, you know, the hamstring thing. So I don't want to get crazy and just thinking it's all him, right? Like you could see some Craig Reynolds too. But golf and the passing game is the way to go. That's the opportunity there. I think it is interesting for DFS. I think that's something that people may be thinking less about and more about Kirk Cousins and company. And I'm starting to think, you know, maybe that might not be the bad move going to golf. I'm going to have to consider that a little further, to be quite honest with you guys. But for right now, I'm sticking with Cousins or Hurts. I like those two lineups that I built around that. The Troy game is very interesting, though. I on the other side of the ball for Tampa Bay, I like Mike Evans, and I've got him in my cash game lineup. And so I think I'm going to stick with that, but maybe I do build that other lineup, you know, coming back as, you know, as a tournament lineup. But I like Mike Evans. I just really feel as though Baker Mayfield is another one of these guys. He can't activate two guys, but he can get it to his one guy. He's been getting it to Evans. The only game that Godwin had that was good was the game that Evans left. Evans has had the bye week, plus he left early in the game before that. They're saying he's healthy now, so it's him. So I like him a lot this week. I don't like their run game so much. I think Tampa Bay has to try to pass to keep up, and so I definitely like Evans, but everything else just seems a little dicey. Detroit, defensively, I think they can take a step forward in this game. They can force Baker to, you know, maybe make a turnover. They can force this offense into a bad situation. Their offense can also keep the pressure on, too. So I just like Detroit to come in here and play big boy and knock this team over and show which one is real and which one is the pretender. If Tampa Bay doesn't do the back and forth thing, then Detroit may not need all the fireworks. And that is a real big concern of mine, because I just don't buy Tampa Bay versus this Detroit defense. I think Detroit could step in and get the game done and sealed. And I'm worried that they're on the road. You know, there's some concerning parts about that. So I will let it burn. But I ultimately believe Detroit's going to win this football game. Reload. Arizona at the Rams. So Arizona feeling themselves lately. I'm going to play their defense for salary saver and hope that it works out like the Panthers last week, where it just doesn't kill me. I've seen how low I can go, ride the tank to E on defense and save that salary elsewhere. This is the game to do it. As far as the game goes, though, you know, Josh Dobbs, you got some interest there. If you seasonal, maybe in two quarterback leagues, if you need it, you could play him. But DFS, I'm not getting there. Seasonal, I'm not getting there. But the Rams, you know, there's the pass rush. We'll have to see how he contends with Donald. But once you get past that, you know, there's some guys out there. Michael Wilson, he's been coming on. He's a little interesting to me, but nothing that I want to actually stamp my name on there. You would love to say the run game, but they don't have James Conner. He's on IR now. And so a lot of interest around DeMarcado. However, I like Keontae Ingram. I think Keontae Ingram steps up as the next guy. And so I've got some interest in him in seasonal. DFS, I don't think I need to get there. But seasonal-wise, if you're in a pinch, you need a guy. They got to run the football against the Rams. They got to establish themselves on the ground, take a little pressure off of the pass rush, because the Rams do have a pass rush. And so I expect that those running backs will get their work. And I like Ingram, like I said. But as far as the Rams offense goes, you know, Stafford's got another weapon now. So it's Kupp primarily and foremost. I like Kupp, but Nakua's out there too. The problem with the Rams is I almost lost thinking this was going to be so great last week in a good matchup, because they don't seem to be able to put together two halves of football yet. So until they can do that, we can't really guarantee it. Like, they play one great half and then they fell off after that, right? I'm worried about something like that happening again, so I'm not going to do that. But I recognize that Kupp and Nakua are in good spots. And, Kyren Williams, if you got to play him, feel fine about it. Feel fine about it. It's not the great spot, but feel fine about it. I would rather use the Ram passing game over the running game. As opposed to Arizona, I would rather use the running game over the passing game. Ertz, though, is definitely in play. I think as a check down option, him. Love to say Rondale Moore, but I'm just going to stick with Ertz. In a game that I think that the Rams actually can win. Reload. Philadelphia going to the Jets. So I like Hurts in this game. Jets are tough on defense, but Hurts is tougher. I think the Jets want to get to 500 very badly. They're playing motivated. We just heard that they're not going to have in the secondary Slay, and they're not going to have Carter on the line. This weakens the Philly defense a little bit. Breece Hall gets a little bit of a bump. Not enough to use in DFS world. But for seasonal, you got to feel that much better about it. The secondary, though, you know, I was recommending Wilson anyway, Garrett Wilson anyway, and putting him in cash game lineups, putting him in across the board, and this only helps the case of that, right? And so I like that. I love Wilson's ability to find him in the zone coverage. Philly's zone coverage has been terrible because of these injuries, and now we have yet another guy out. So for me, that seals it. I got to use him. Got to use them. And it's definitely Wilson above any of those other receivers for the Jets. Love that. Breeze is okay. No Conklin. That's kind of where I'm at. Now, on the Philly side, Swift, I like him. You can run against the Jets for sure. But as far as passing goes, I think A.J. Brown can have a good game too. I don't know so much about Devonta Smith. I think this will be tougher for him. But even if Sauce is locked up with A.J., I don't I think he can take him. However, the Jets want to play that zone a lot. And if you want to do that, then AJ's going to beat you too. So I think it's a good A.J. Brown day, even though the matchup would say otherwise. You can feel real good about this. And this is part of the reason why I want to play Hurts and him in that lineup, because I do think that the Jets secretly can do enough to make them have to run some offense because the Philly secondary is just so darn bad. So I want to invest in that. And I think it's interesting having that lineup with Hurts and Brown and bringing it back with Wilson if you want to. So just some stuff to think about. Now, the Jets going to lose this game, and the Philly, you know, Philadelphia Eagles should win it by the cusp of the offense. I think the offense will be so good that they will force the Jets to make a mistake trying to keep up. So the Philly defense will get some reprieve, but they should be giving up a couple of yards in between whistle to whistle from first to fourth. So on the road, they find a way to do it and stay undefeated against these Jets. Reload Sunday night, Giants going up against Buffalo. So Giants not very good right now. Buffalo should have their way in the passing game. They don't really run that much. And so I guess you could invest in Cook if you like. Maybe think they're running the clock out at the end, but I'm just not seeing it. Allen, great. Diggs, great. I don't care if they have Bradbury or whoever. Diggs is still, he's going to eat anyway. And Gabe Davis in a good spot too. I'm not so much on Kincaid or Knox or whatever at tight end, but Allen for sure. The Buffalo defense going to lead the way. Lost some guys in the secondary. Trying to get Von Miller back. So this piece is coming, this piece is going. I don't think they're necessarily, you know, something to fear in the defense, but the Giants just don't have it offensively. So Buffalo will continue to look the same because they get to play down this week to the Giants, is my opinion. So I don't see the Giants winning this football game. I don't have a lot of Giant recommendations. I think they're going to have to play very tough to stay in this football game. I don't see it, Buffalo. And this is our final shot, so we'll make it a good one and reload. Dallas going to play the Chargers on Monday night. Dallas trying to bounce back after an embarrassing loss to the 49ers. Going to play the AFC version of themselves. So many similar problems. Kellen Moore, little revenge game, going up against Dallas's old team. They, you know, McCarthy threw him under the bus, basically saying they should have ran more. That's why they lost against San Fran. How'd that work out for you? So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be fun for him, but I think that their teams are pretty evenly matched because they are both susceptible to some things. And so for the Chargers, again, Keenan Allen, just talked about it a little bit before, should be a great day for him. Palmer is going to have a little bit more problems, I think, with the coverage, the man-to-man coverage. But Keenan Allen should be a cakewalk. Eckler, I believe, is playing. We like that. You want Eckler, he should be fine. There's not a lot else that I want on that offense, to be honest with you. Now, Dallas, though, for their side, you know, CeeDee Lamb should be in play, but also Brandon Cooks, too. I think he has a great opportunity to show up on Monday night. I like Cooks over Palmer. Tell you that right now. Now, the run game for Dallas, I hope they would establish themselves this week. This is a great opportunity against the Chargers, especially because the Chargers have kind of a little bit of a pass rush too. Remember, you got Khalil Mack and Bosa and company. So I think they'll want to get the ball out of Dak's hand quickly, which means low A-dot. Fergus is interesting. Lamb is interesting in the slot. Those crossing routes and stuff like that. Dak threw a lot of picks last year. They were trying to cut down on the picks this year, but the way they're doing it is just he's just not throwing nearly as far as he would used to throw. So unless they want to change that, it's not the same offense. So there's going to be problems, going far down with the sticks, right? But as far as the running game goes, Dallas should be in play. Run the football. You're not going to have time to throw the ball deep, and it's not what they've been doing anyway. So run the football. So we like Pollard, but Rico Dowdle will spell him, though. You know, if you got to play him in a pinch because of bye weeks, you can feel okay about that. I think this is going to be a close football game, but the Chargers are a mess too. I think Dallas goes on the road and wins this one. Their defense may be a little bit better than the Chargers, but it's just two underperforming teams that, like I said, remind me of each other. And I love the Kellen Moore aspect going up against Dallas. He knows that defense, right? So you would think that he would be able to scheme something up, but who knows what we're going to see. I think Dallas actually will be able to, they know more about his offense than he knows about that defense. I rather would take Dan Quinn versus Kellen Moore. So with that in mind, I'm going to take Dallas this week over the Chargers. And that is our reload for this week. So guys, you know what I'm thinking about the game scripts now. Hopefully that helps you make your picks. And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week. Finally, I give you my lineup. I give it to you. I give you the goods and you tell me what you think, right? So DFS this week, going to keep it simple, just like I've been doing, really cutting down the number of picks we're going with, right? And so as we continue to do that, we're in the vein of that. This week, Kirk Cousins, $7,100. The Bears have played better against the run, as I said, and the Chicago offense has been better. I think this is good climate for Cousins, so we're just going to roll with him. Hurts is in the alternate lineup at $8,200. Burrow's the third option at $6,300. But we'll take Chase as a one-off for the Hurts lineup because, like we talked about, I think we can get most of Burrow's production just from Chase right now. So if we could just take him by itself, that's fine. Okay, what else? Fields can't be trusted. That's why I'm staying away from him. Rams having trouble playing two halves of football, so you can't go with Stafford. And you don't know how much Purdy and Tua will need to do this week, so I want to stay away from them. That's just a little bit of the reasoning behind quarterback. Wide receiver, Mike Evans, $7,100. That great game script versus the Lions, we're going to take that. Baker Mayfield, you know, kind of finding just the one guy, like I said. I just equated back to that. Looking at those numbers for Gibson and realizing that he only really hit when Evans was out. So let's fire Evans back up. He gets his favorite target back this week. I will say St. Brown is interesting at $7,700. If you want to flip him out for Evans, that's okay. Christian Kirk, $5,400. Friendly game script, good matchup versus the coverage. You know, I've been wrong about him and assuming, you know, a couple of the other guys really in zone Zay Jones incorrectly, but Christian Kirk has been consistent week in and week out if you want to take away week one. So outside of that, he looks like a great value at $5,400 and a positive game script for him. So against, you know, the Colts. So I want to take that $5,400, use that in our cash game lineup. That is actually a great price for what we need to do. And then Wilson, we talked about him, $6,000. Really good versus zone coverage. Should see plenty of that versus Philadelphia, and they're banged up. So we're just going to keep using them. Tight end, just going to stick with the recommending the two of them like I've been doing. So Hockenson is $6,600. So I'm pairing him and Cousins. Bears are bad versus tight end. Jefferson is out. Hockenson is the next most targeted Viking by the Cousins. Simple as that. And then if you want to, you can pay down with Goddard at $4,800. That's great value. He produced last week. They got him back a part of the offense. Jets are very, very bad against the tight end, so you can fire him up this week. In the flex, I'm going to go with Drake London. $4,800 salary, heavily targeted usually. Pitts is going to fall back down to earth this week, but the addition of Van Jefferson, like I said, just gives, you know, the defense somebody else to be accountable for. I think that's going to help out our boy Drake. And then with the running backs, nothing sexy. We're going to pay down with guys who will get most of their team's first and second down reps. So that's going to be Deonta Foreman, $4,400 versus Minnesota. And then Chuba Hubbard, $4,300 versus Miami. We're going to lay our claim there. And for the defense, paying up for the 49ers after paying down last week. But if you want to pay down the Cardinals at $2,400 versus the Rams, I don't think they kill us. The alternate lineup, the only guys I'm thinking of using that I haven't mentioned are Chase and Mostert. $6,400 for Mostert, $8,300 for Chase. And I talked about, you know, golf perhaps. And so maybe I do something with him and throw those people on the lineup there. And maybe, you know, Jacoby Myers too. But that's like a third one-off thing that I don't feel great about, right? But that's the picks for this week, guys. That's how I hope it lines up. And you guys can use that to make your analysis, and good luck with that. That's going to do it for us for week 6. Guys, www.tigerbombsae.com. You can listen to the show, watch the show there. Just click on the process page. This is a Tiger Bomb podcast. All the other Tiger Bomb podcasts are there too. So if something else tickles your fancy, take it for a spin. But also, if you want to check us out on social media, you want to check us out on X, you want to check us out on Facebook, you want to check us out anywhere that you listen to podcasts, like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever, just search the same way, Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. This will come up. You can like, subscribe, follow, do whatever you need to do. You'll catch the new episodes as they come out typically on Friday. That's the heavy lifting. All right, guys, good luck. Have fun watching the games. We will come right back next week and talk about what we saw and put it all together again for week 7. Peace. The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.